I probably don't need to point this out this morning, but I will anyway. The lectionary today has a real big focus or theme in it, and that theme, of course, is, as we just heard, the Pharisees and scribe asked Jesus, "By what authority do you do these things?" The lectionary passages this morning are very much concerned with authority and where authority derives from and who has authority and how do you get it. And this whole idea of authority is wrapped up in questions that we have had as followers of Jesus for 2,000 years. Questions like, what is a follower of Jesus' relationship to their state or their country? Or, better yet, how does a kingdom of this world relate to the kingdom of heaven? All of those are tied up with what you think gives a person authority. Now, keep in mind, the lectionary has pulled a fast one on us over the past couple of weeks because it is actually giving away somewhat the lectionary writer's answer to this question. So the first Sunday I would have been back from vacation, had the lectionary stayed on track in the book of Romans, we would have heard from Paul where he writes, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those authorities that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." That if I'd have got back on that Sunday and read this, in fact, the lectionary removes this for a real reason, which is, it's troubling. And also it removes it for a reason that we'll uncover in a minute, which is, it's kind of at odds with the passage that we get today on the day when it's focusing on authority. In fact, this passage in Romans goes on to say you should pay whatever taxes are asked by your government and be glad that you're paying them. So, what is Paul up to, and why are these two passages, and why is the lectionary trying to do me a favor 3 weeks ago, when it won't do me a favor this week, where it puts in the passage from Paul something about knees bending down? So I don't know which way it's trying to help me out here. But today's is the exact opposite of submit to your authorities and do what you do, and if you resist them, you will incur the judgment of God. Because today's, and we talked a little bit about this on Wednesday night, I think I can say this, but I can't show it, today's passage is a big middle finger to the authorities of the world around them. Because today's passage eventually puts in front of everybody somebody to be knelt to who is a slave. That's not about submitting to authorities. That's about taking down authorities. That's about saying that a person who would give up everything that they have, who would be a slave, who would be unjustly submitted to a capital punishment and public execution, those are the people that we should kneel to, and not to those who come through with power and might and wealth and all kinds of the trappings of the world's authority. They are not to be knelt to any longer, because the authority that they have is vacuous. It's empty. And so we have both of these passages, and you can see why the church and the world have been in such conflict about what do we do. And often when they start to get into bed with one another about what the state's authority is versus what the kingdom of God's authority, and they try to merge them, we get all kinds of weird and bizarre and unholy and oftentimes just very unproductive ways of being any kind of kingdom at all. And so, as we sit in the 21st century, in a week when we think about knees bending down, week when we think about what kind of authority we should submit to and what kind of authorities we should resist, the Bible kind of gives us two different answers, and it lets us sit and struggle with them. And there are a couple of ways we could handle this. One is we could do what the lectionary has done with us, which is it said, the one passage I don't like, I don't read. That's not my strategy, by the way, folks. In fact, I believe you've got to hold all these things together all the time. In fact, it's not that the Bible with two different authors has two different thoughts. The Bible with the same author, probably in the same time period, seems to write two totally different things. Is Paul out of his mind? Is he drunk? Is he schizophrenic? What's wrong with him that he would offer up two different ways to be in relationship to the authorities of the world? So we could say, I like this one and I don't like the other. And by the way, that's what most people do. They just do it under the guise of when they live under an authority they like the one from Romans. And when they live under an authority they like the one from Philippians. They make the choice based on their current level of comfort with their ruler. That's the same as saying, I'm not going to read this because I don't agree with it. But we're going to read everything. The other thing is to sit down and dig in and try to figure out how could the same person write both things? Or what is the strategy that Paul has? And what you uncover when you start to do this, and though we don't have time to go into this morning, that passage that Paul writes about submitting to authorities in Romans is really the setup to say this. Owe nothing to one another except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Paul is really saying this in Romans not because he is interested in your relationship to your authority per se, other than to say, if you love your neighbor, there is no law against it, and you can't be punished. In fact, he must be saying this because somebody, you know, there is this kind of maxim that's true that if you speak the truth, you'll be persecuted. Well, the converse of that is not true. Just because you're persecuted doesn't mean you're speaking the truth. And I think that's what Paul is trying to get at here. He's like, he is telling them, you cannot love your neighbor and break the law. Not any law at any time. And in Philippians, he tells us exactly why he puts this radical, nationalist, subversive hymn about Jesus in his letter. Because it's not just bad enough that he tells us that you will kneel down to a slave and one who's been punished. He does it in the form of a hymn. And I don't know the tune that they would have sung it to, but you can figure out a tune you can put it to later this afternoon if you like. In this hymn, he tells them this because he wants them to do nothing out of selfish ambition. He tells them this because he wants them to regard others better than themselves. He tells them this because he wants them to look not to their own interests, but to the interests of others. He tells them this because he wants them to empty themselves for others. In other words, he tells them this because he wants them to have the mind of Christ. So regardless of what you think about your ruler or your authority, regardless of what you think about how the state and the church intertwine, you can have the mind of Christ, and against that there is no law. But also, as Paul tells us, there is no resistance because it is the law of humility that will win. Because in the end, being humble and a slave and self-giving will defeat all other ways of being a kingdom, and they will not stand against it. Amen.